there was going to be a scripture reading or something. Our scripture today is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, if you would like to follow along as I read. I will be going over a number of verses of scripture, and some of them I'll invite you to look up with me. Others, for the sake of time, I'll just either make reference to or read about them from my notes. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh came upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I chose this passage of scripture because it is such a graphic representation of what I want to talk about today. This passage in Ezekiel occurred about 500 years before the time of Christ. It was a time of a terrible situation for the nation Israel. In fact, these bones in this valley were a picture of the condition of the people of God. I had a professor in Bible school who, as he referred to this passage of scripture, and he said, these bones were very dry. And they were. And Israel was very dry. And what had happened is that the people of God had fallen into such a sad state because they were not able to keep their end of the bargain. The agreement with God was, I will do this for you. I will do this for you. And then you will do this for me. And if you will, then I will. If you will, then I will. If you will, then I will. And tragically, God was willing, but the nation Israel was not. And sin after sin, apostasy after apostasy, failure after failure, idol after idol, disobedience after disobedience, rebellion after rebellion, until finally their state was just like these dry, lifeless, fleshless bones in a valley. Friends, could it be that you today are like those dry bones in the valley? Maybe you're not quite that dry, or maybe you are. Well, I have good news for you, just as Ezekiel had good news for the nation Israel. And that's what God came to Ezekiel in their sorry, sorry, dry state, their emptiness, their failure, their regret, their disillusionment, their discouragement. And he took them right where they were in that dry, dead state. And he said, I can breathe life into you. I can put flesh and sinews on you. I can take you from that dry, dead state and make you a mighty army. I can take this disaster that is my people and I can make you great to accomplish what I formed you to be. And friends, I'm convinced that the message to us today, the message to me, the message to you, is that He can take you just as you are, very dry, and He can bring new life into you. But friends, that's only possible through Jesus Christ. How can that be? I've heard about Jesus. Yes, we talk about Jesus in the church. People talk to me about Jesus. But the reality is I'm in this valley and I am very dry. So what does Jesus mean to me? Friends, He means a great deal. And the more we can understand, the more we can grasp, the more we can take hold of the resources and the treasure and the riches that we have in Jesus Christ, the more hope we have that we too can live and have a new life. We have a number of new things in Christ. I'd like to share them with you. And in addition to a number of new things in Christ, we can also have a number of new resolutions. And later on, I'm going to ask you this question. How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions? It's been a number of months now. So what are your resolutions and how are you doing in them? And maybe I can recommend and suggest just a few different ones or maybe some new ones. But the secret, friends, is that in Christ, well, it's not a secret. It's a mystery. It's a mystery revealed. The mystery revealed is, I think, put very plainly in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, and I'll read this to you, where Jeremiah says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." A new agreement. Do you remember what the old agreement was? If you will, then I will. The new agreement is, I will, so you can. Have you ever watched the Olympics with the high bar? It's incredibly high. And can you imagine someone coming to this high bar and just seeing the high bar and saying, this is a contest to see who can jump over this 10 foot, I think it's 10 foot, maybe more, maybe 15 feet, pole without knocking the pole off. And you look at that and you think, This can't be possible. How does anybody get up that high? And friends, that's God's standard. But then you come to find out that the athletes get this long, flexible pole that they can pole vault. And so with this pole in hand, they can run down that track, they can face that high obstacle, they can plant that pole, and the pole will bend and flex, but it'll lift them up and take them over the bar, so they can accomplish what they intended to do. And that, friends, is a picture what Jesus Christ does for us in our life. That's a picture of this new covenant with God. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians was very clear when he said, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What does that mean, the letter kills? Let me ask you something. And be honest with me, in your own mind, you don't have to answer me. But if I should ask you, do you think that God is more pleased with you when you are able to do what He wants you to do and live the kind of life that He wants you to live? Or let me ask it the same question in a different way. When you are successful somehow in doing what you know God wants you to do, do you think that God is more pleased with you? Did you answer that? Friends, if you answered yes, it's only a matter of time until you will completely fail. Because if you answered yes, then you're saying to me that my pleasing God is based on my performance and how I'm able to do what God wants me to do. And if I can do that, then I'm okay. And I can make God happy. That is the beginning of self-righteousness and hypocrisy. That is the beginning of frustration and failure. That is the beginning of being a dry bone in a dry valley. Because, friends, the reality, there is nothing we can do that can please God. And the only thing we can do that can please God is what God gives us by faith and a transformation in our own heart. Does God want us to change? Yes. Will God judge sin? Yes. Will we face the throne of judgment for how we lived our life? Yes. Will we suffer the consequences for our rebellion and godless living? Yes. But friends, our only hope of change is to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ and to be transformed from the inside out so that how we please God isn't based on how we live, isn't based on our performance. How we please God is who we are in Jesus Christ, and He sees us complete and finished in Him because it is finished in Christ. How many of us are like those pole vaulters? They run down the track. They see the standard that's up there over 10 feet high. They try over and over again to jump that bar, but it keeps falling off. It keeps falling off. Eventually, do you know what we can do? We can say, I didn't like that game anyway. Or we take the bar down to our height so that we can easily hop over and think and feel very good about ourselves. But the reality is that the standard has never been met. And we have fallen into the trap of the Pharisees and the lawyers and the scribes, thinking that we can do what's necessary. Friends, in Christ we have a new agreement. We have a pole for vaulting. And in Hebrews chapter 8, and I can read this to you, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law into their minds, write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." In speaking of growing of the new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete, and what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Do you know what keeps us from coming to Christ? Truly being transformed, truly becoming new creatures. Do you know what it is? It's a lack of repentance. A lack of repentance. You know, that's the tragedy. Because we're unwilling to repent and turn to Christ, because we insist on doing it our own way, with our own strength, and in our own self-righteousness, because we're so proud and we cling to our idols and we cling to our routines, we cling to our religion, because we're unwilling to repent and say, God, there's nothing in me that's good, and only in Christ can I be saved, only in Christ can I be transformed, that is why we continue with the dead religious life. At best. Or we head out those doors and we never come back because it doesn't work for me. In Christ we have a new life, a new heart, a new spirit, and friends, we are a new creation. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Do you want a new life? Do you want to stop being a dry bone in a dry valley? Do you want to stop the cycle of frustration and hypocrisy and lying and deceit because the reality of what's inside is so different than what you're pretending to be on the outside? Friends, the hope of that is Jesus Christ and the life He can give us. So may God's new covenant, may God's new life fill us. Because, friends, then we can have new mercies and a new hope. I love this verse in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. And I've said these verses to myself and my wife many times over these past difficult months as we faced many trials. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And friends, someday in Christ, we will have a new heaven and a new earth. It doesn't end here. Someday, all the sickness will be gone. Someday, this body is falling apart slowly, one bit at a time, will be replaced with a new one. Someday we will be forever with the Lord. Someday it will all be new and the old will be passed away. All tears will be dried up and our hope will be with the Lord forever and ever. But that's someday. Right now, God is calling us to have some new resolutions. So I told you I was going to ask you about your resolutions. How are they going? Well, let me give you some new ones. Given what I've just told you today, let me recommend these. Let me recommend that we sing a new song. Psalm 98:1 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things in His right hand, and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him." Is there a song on your heart today? As you come to church, yes, we do have an opportunity to sing, and we can sing with our lips, but let me ask you, friends, is there a song in your heart that wants to come out? Well, if not, that's okay. And that can change. And let me encourage you to repent from your self-will and your self-righteousness. Let me encourage you to repent from your dead religion and your hypocrisy. Let me encourage you to repent from your self-effort. And let me encourage you to turn to Christ and let Him transform you from the inside out, that He can put a new song on your mouth. And then that song is not just with the lips, but friends, that song can be with the heart as well. He's called us to love one another. I tell you, love doesn't come easily or naturally. You know, by nature, we're pretty ornery people. And it's impossible for us to get outside of ourselves, to stop thinking about ourselves and being the center of the universe and start doing what really is good for other people, even if it costs us something. But friends, that's impossible by ourselves. But in Christ, we can be transformed. And to be a new life that slowly, yes, it doesn't happen all at once, and we're not going to be perfect, but for the first time maybe in our lives, to take ourselves out of being the center of the universe, having Christ in the center, and allowing Him to work His love in our hearts so that not only can we forgive other people for what they've done against us, but we can actually have the miracle of being able to love other people, to do what's best for them, no matter how they treat us. Let's commit ourselves to be ministers of a new covenant. As the Apostle Paul said, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. So, in your mind, what is ministry? What is ministry? And who's a minister? You know, we take part in the Reformation where we believe in the priesthood of all believers, but you know, we don't always quite do that. In reality, I think there's a part of our mind that relegates ministry to the professionals. Or, you know, if you're really spiritual, maybe you can take, you know, do something in the church, hand out bulletins, take offerings, sing. And those are very good and those are very valid ministries. But friends, I think God wants so much more for us right where you are, in your work, in your families, in your relationships, in your church, where you can be, in your own way, a light for Jesus Christ as His life works its way out through you, not because you're worthy of it, but because of His grace working through your life. And may God cause us to be ministers of a new covenant, that we can be salt and light no matter where we are, to transform the people around us for the King of God. Another resolution is that we need to put off the old self and put on the new. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. What does that mean? Friends, it doesn't happen automatically. Let's say if you're a prisoner in jail, suddenly you hear that the governor has pardoned you, and suddenly the gate is unlocked. What do you have to do? Well, you have to get out, right? You have to get out off your bunk. You have to get out of the gate. And the same thing when we have newness in Christ. Friends, we are under the delusion that somehow it's going to hit us from heaven and we're going to be suddenly transformed in an instant and we're going to be new creatures. No, it doesn't work that way. We are reborn. We are made new inside. We have new desires. But friends, we've got old habits. We've got old patterns. We've got old ways of thinking. And so what the Bible is telling us is, to now that we have a choice, we need to put off something and put something on. Have you ever been in a house with squeaky doors that haven't been used in a while? You know, you're going, or you're using a tool that's rusted and frozen, and you spray some of that stuff on it, and you start working, and it squeaks, and it complains, and it finally starts loosening up. Friends, that's how we are. We have old life. We were dead. We had old patterns of life. We had sins in our lives. We had bondage. But now God is giving us the chance of choosing. And so we are going to be for a while like that squeaky door or that rusted tool that, you know, we have to free our will. For all our lives, maybe our will was in bondage. We didn't even have a choice, but now we do. And so what we do, and this is a good resolution for me and for you, is to choose to put off what was old and to put on what's new. To say no to the old, to say yes to the new. You can say, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Friends, you're not an old dog. We're new creatures. You know, I can't do that. I'm only human. I'm too weak. Yes, you are human. You are too weak. But now Jesus Christ lives in you and you can choose. And that will that we have, that has the ability to choose in Christ, that was rusted, unused, rigid, unflexible, unmoving, for the first time in our lives, we can say no to the old and yes to the new. And yes, it'll start out slowly, and it'll be squeaky, and it'll be uncomfortable, it'll be hard, but friends, we can be set free. Not because we are earning points with God, but because we are forgiven in Jesus Christ, and now I can live a new life. Not a new life so I can please God, but a new life because I am a new person. and it's for my benefit and the benefit of the glory of God that I live a new life. And those things that I was in bondage to, those things that I was a slave to, those patterns, those habits, those ways of talking that were killing and destroying, ruining my marriage, ruining my family, ruining my job, ruining my life, I, for the first time, can say yes in Christ and no to the things that were killing me and making me a dry bone in a dry valley. But it doesn't happen automatically. It comes through choice. It comes through repentance. It comes through trust in Christ. It comes to saying no to what's old, yes to what's new. Not so I can earn points with God, but so I can live and fulfill and flesh out the new life that I have in Jesus Christ. And friends, that's what transforms a church. What transforms a church? Youth programs, potlucks, fellowship times, Bible studies, good activities. All those things are good in and of themselves, but that's not what transforms us. What transforms us is repentance and a relationship with the God of heaven who has a new covenant with us and can change our hearts. Until that happens, we can go through the motions, but the reality is that we're dead and there's nothing in us. Another good resolution is to live lives of holiness and godliness awaiting Christ's return. As I said before, we don't earn brownie points with God. We don't earn our salvation. God isn't more pleased with me when I'm living a certain type of life than another type of life. I am accepted in Jesus Christ, and that is my only hope of transformation. And He makes me a new creature. And by faith in Him, I can be transformed. But we have to be careful. Because there are some people that say, because you're in Jesus Christ, you're forgiven, and you can live any way that you want. That is a lie from hell. We are in Jesus Christ, so we get to live a new life because we're new creatures. For 2 Peter, Peter warns us about this when he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, "Know this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last day with scoffing, following their own sinful desires." They will say, "Hey, where's the promise of His coming? Ever since our fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." Do not overlook this fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. And since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for, hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Is that what you're waiting for? A new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells? Are you like those dry bones in the valley? You've really messed it up, and you know it. It's okay. God can make it new. You're on the walk, but the truth be told, you're dry. And you're wondering if this all there is to the Christian life. No, it's not. Christ has a new purpose for you, a new life in you. And maybe for so long you've lived a life of hypocrisy. One life on the outside in church on Sunday, another life in your private world, and it's killing you. Friends, this is an opportunity to make the inside match the outside. Not because we deserve it, not because we're good, but because Jesus Christ and His resurrection is enough for us to give us a new life, new hopes, new resolutions, and a new future. And may God, by His grace, do that for you, dear folks, at this church, First Baptist Church of Narragansett. And that as a result of the transformation that God does in our lives here, this entire community can be transformed, not by your religion, but by the Jesus Christ who lives in your heart, transforming you, giving you hope, so that you can share that hope with other people. So may I pray for you, may I pray for me, and may I pray that God can just do His work in our lives. Lord Jesus, I thank You that when I was a dry bone in a dry valley, You took the initiative to come to me, to transform me, to make me a new creature in Christ. And Father, I pray that we would truly be able to understand the height and the depth and the width of the love and the grace of God to make us new creatures in Christ. And Lord, that we can live a new life, not to earn points with You, but to be able to fulfill and to live out what Your grace and mercy has poured out into our lives. Lord, build Your church here in Narragansett. Encourage Your people. Fill us with a new sense of Your grace and strength in our lives. And for those areas, Lord, that we've allowed the enemy to bring us into bondage, that we're enslaved, that we've fallen, oh Lord, may You bring healing into that area of our lives, and may we know freedom. And Father, that by Your grace we would choose to put off the old and put on the new. I pray this with my brothers and sisters here in the name of Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. Amen.